the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, as Amanda mentioned, a well-designed building can transform the streetscape of any town, and also how important it is to look up when you're walking. With that in mind, our reporter Shifra McQueen took a walk along some of our favourite shopping streets and looked up.
If you do a double take, you're like, how have I not seen that before? You know, you're kind of looking through the mists of time.
Fashion historian Ruth Griffin walks us down an old Grafton Street.
Grafton Street's quite a frantic street. It's a shame in a way it's so busy because there is so many interesting things happening. The buildings are telling you interesting stories. I do like to look at windows above. I like to kind of imagine the people working there, and a lot of it would have been, you know, the dressmakers and the bootmakers and the corset makers and the hatters, all, you know, with their very specific trades, the sewing machines whirring and the people beading. Where AIB is now today is 101 Grafton Street was Alfred Manning, a court dressmaker, top hat makers. So there was Jay Morgan, and they were on 9 Grafton Street, and they famously made the top hat for Daniel O'Connell. Grafton Street started out as a residential street, developed into book selling. I think actually at one point there was bird sellers. Very much like today, you know, you can celeb spot on Grafton Street. Percy Bysshe Shelley lived on the street for a short time, and Wolf Tone met his wife in a bookshop on Grafton Street. And, you know, a lot of the court dressmakers would have been frequented by people like Countess Markovitch and Maud Gonne.
Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air. There's diamonds in the ladies' eyes and gold dust in our hair.
And Switzers was in Brown Thomas. There's a beautiful reminder of Switzers just on the side of the building there, Wicklow Street, opposite Weir's. And there's this really elaborate Art Nouveau mosaic with the word Switzer in gold. When I see that sign, I'm immediately 10 again, looking in the windows of the Christmas display, watching Santa and the scene coming alive in my imagination. If you have a look above Boots on Grafton Street, you'll see a very beautiful angel with flowing robe, and she's holding a trumpet. And there's a little story behind it. The business used to be Hayes, Cunningham and Robinson, pharmacies that would have been in Dublin in the 19th century. There's a little inscription under it, and it's in Latin: medical prescriptions accurately dispensed. She's a guardian, and I think if you have a look up, she's a reminder that there's somebody looking after you.
When we go above the street level and we go working on the roof, it's like going into a time machine. We're working in a different time zone, especially the clock face. The clock face, a lot of people have said to us and taken photos of us working on it, it's like something out of Back to the Future and Marty McFly.
Where the hell are they?
The appropriate question is, when the hell are they?
Roofer Niall McDonagh gets a different perspective of Shop Street in Galway from the heights of the 700-year-old St Nicholas's Church.
The clock itself, it's about 4 foot in diameter. It has glass from all parts of the world, so it has, and all different colours. In the early morning, the sun rises, and it's like a corridor of light coming down Shop Street. When the light strikes it, illuminates the bell tower inside. It's like a room of diamonds, really, and you'd almost be blinded by it.
Follow the sun, and which way the wind blows.
When we're working on the steeple, or the sound from the buskers would echo up through the steeple and through the rafters of the church. You really do feel that you're alive when you're up there, because it rings through you, so it does. Cromwell came there and he supposedly stabled his horses in St. Nicholas's Church, and you can see the hooves marks. There's only 3 of the clock faces. At the time when they were building it, they wanted 4 clock faces. The north-facing clock was never filled in. One of the rumours is a local businessman who was Catholic wouldn't pay for it, so they blanked it all off, and he was never able to see the time from his north-facing building.
But some parts of history are hard to explain.
I had a fascination with the clock tower and the mechanics that were involved with the clock and the cogs and everything. But there was a gentleman that looked after it, and he looked after it for about 40 to 50 years. But as time went on and he got elderly, he wasn't able to look after it. So I said, I look after it. We got it working for about 6 months, and then problems started, and it eventually stopped itself. So we said we wouldn't restart it. But that poor gentleman, about 3 or 4 years later, died And the clock stopped at 10:10 and he died at 10:10. And it was said at his funeral that the clock waited for him. You often hear Noel saying time waits for no one, but in this case it did.
And now our studio is located in the maltings, which is where the brewery would kind of dry out the malt and hops and stuff. But the front is pretty much how it would have looked.
Founder of Cartoon Saloon, Tom Moore, is drawn in by the little details of the streets of Kilkenny.
Sketching is almost like a meditative practice because you slow right down and you really look. And whenever you're drawing and looking closely, you do see more, which I think is really a precious thing about what we do. I think it's important for everybody to take the time to daydream, but I definitely think as an artist, on the weekends or even just at lunchtime or something, it's always a way to kind of recharge your creative juices and to go back to work having been fed by the history and the beauty of the city. One of the things that's really charming about Kilkenny is it does have that sort of Diagon Alley kind of vibe. It feels like you're passing in between different time periods, different worlds. Butterslip, which is a little laneway off the main street, and it's got a beautiful old arch. Butter would have been sold, or there would have been like outdoor merchants back in the day. There's a sign above it that I think goes back hundreds of years, and at that little window, I remember drawing it above the lamp as you go down there, the way that the windows would be beveled, or the way that the windows would be set into the wall, or the lead of the windows. And Alice Kittler, who was supposed to be burnt at the stake as a witch, but she escaped and her poor maid Petronella was the one who burnt instead. And they also would have been going up and down the Butterslip, probably with their heads filled with whatever the nonsense of the day was, because that's what we do, we get lost in our day. But it just takes a second to kind of step back in time, I suppose, you know. And you imagine the merchants maybe throwing their stuff out the window onto the ground, the dirty water onto the ground, and Alice Kittler having to step quickly out of the way in case it splashes her skirt, and maybe buying some butter to bring back to the inn, and who knows what she was up to. Maybe she was out looking for some poison for her husbands or something, but it's nice to imagine her going up and down those same streets.
So, I mean, if you just take St. Patrick Street alone, I mean, it began its life as a canal. Like, what you'll see is this curving street. Like, we have a street called Drawbridge Street, which is off St. Patrick Street.
Cork City historian Kieran McCarthy.
You can nearly feel the wooden clinker-built ships kind of, like, knocking off the quaysides. Cork City exported 100,000 barrels of butter, 60,000 barrels of beef, 100,000 barrels of beer. But at any given time, 200 years ago, all you hear is just barrels just knocking off cobbles going down the streets.
Kieran says St. Patrick Street in Cork holds different clues to its past.
I suppose in most historical tours, you always say to people, look up, look around. But actually in Cork, you kind of also say, look down, look into the corner of the building itself. One is that down the end of Patrick Street, there's actually a dog trough. There was a cafe and the cafe owner was like, we should also look after dogs. And so the dog trough is still there, it just says Modry on it. It was actually quite innovative for its time. Today, there's always discussions on people wanting to bring their dogs into cafes and restaurants. But Cork was doing it way back, we'd say 60, 70 years ago.
But for Ruth, some moments of history are more personal than others.
My granddad had a Gentleman's Outfitters on Exchequer Street. And he was there from the 1940s to the 1970s. It's actually industry today, and it's really beautiful shopfront. It's got stained glass windows, and there's a mosaic in the floor that says Exchequer Shop. And if you look closely, the P is a little bit funny. It was a shoe shop before my granddad took it over, and he changed it from shoe to shop. So it looks a bit strange. It's a little bit of him when we walk by.
She from O'Queen reporting there.